After Alex had turned on the camera light, a panic wave went through the flock. He saw a long, dark hall full of de-beaked, derailed hens in tiny cages, cackling and screaming. A sudden coldness hit him at the core, and he took a step back. It was like a scene from a utopian horror movie.
My name is Henrik Vilenius, and I'm the author of The Rise Up Trilogy, a young adult coming-of-age story about Hashim, Alex, and Mariam confronting real-life issues like climate change, corrupt politics, animal cruelty, and racial and gender equity.
12. Ramon opened his eyes. His vision was so fuzzy that he could hardly see anything, except the long white neon lights on the ceiling. Although he had never been hospitalized before, he realized where he was. He had seen enough American movies on the TV to figure that out. Something was stuck in his throat, making him gag, and his nose and mouth were covered with a plastic mask. He could breathe again, although he felt extremely weak and drowsy. For some strange reason, he couldn't remember any dreams. Maybe he had been given some drugs that would block them. His wife had refused to take any white man's medication when she gave birth to their daughters in the local clinic on the other side of the valley. Without dreams, she was afraid of losing her connection to her ancestors. Ramon could hear the beeping sounds all around him. He tried to turn his head to see his surroundings, but a sharp pain in his throat stopped him. Then he heard a woman's voice saying somewhere just outside the room, "Excuse me, but you cannot be here."
"Why not?"
Although the words came through a speaker, Ramon could recognize at once the brusque, hollow voice. The security chief had found him. "This is an isolation unit. Are you related to the patient?" Silence ensued. For a moment, Ramon thought he was off the hook, but then he heard the security chief responding.
"It's Rosa Hernandez, the wife of your patient."
Even if Ramon couldn't understand the full implication of what the security chief had just said, he could feel his heart racing. Soon, a nurse walked into the room with the phone and said, "You cannot talk, but I will tell your wife that you are in the hospital." Then Ramon saw the picture on the screen that showed his wife with his two daughters, huddled together in a house he didn't recognize. The youngest one was wearing the purple striped shirt that his wife had sewn just 2 days ago. His family has been taken as hostages to stop him from speaking out. Hashim watched the lights come on in the evening dusk as they edged their way westward on the congested George Washington Bridge. They had stopped to pick up his and Miriam's luggage from the dorm. The plan had been to make the crossing before the evening rush hour, but then they had hit traffic already as they were leaving Queens. However, that was nothing out of the ordinary. It was New York after all.
"If you get tired, I could drive too,"
Hashim said as Mariam had already driven several hours that day. Alex cleared his throat and said nothing. Neither did Mariam.
"I said I could drive too,"
Hashim repeated. Then he saw the blank expression his two best friends shared in the front seat, as if they were knowingly ignoring him. Then his shoulders slumped as the truth settled in. They didn't want him to drive. It was true that he hadn't been behind the wheel since they moved to New York. Nevertheless, he considered himself a skillful driver. Just an underappreciated one. As they passed the Fort Lee Historical Park, Alex glanced over his shoulders at the receding skyline of the city and said, "Bye-bye, New York." After a sidelong glance, Miriam asked,
"For how long?"
"Only for this summer," Alex responded. It took a moment for Hashim to let the new information sink in. Alex had changed his mind. Hashim could hardly contain his grin as he leaned forward to hug his friend from behind. Even if they hadn't seen each other lately as often as they used to back home, Alex had always been somewhere close by. Hashim couldn't imagine a life without being able to see his best friend face to face at will. He could see from Miriam's flushed cheeks, she shared his elation. The entire chain of events was so incredible that it could not have happened without some kind of divine interruption. It seemed that life-changing events came in clusters, as it did in the previous August, when their lives had abruptly turned upside down. How many times on that fateful day had he felt that all was lost? And he was sure his best friends had felt the same. Then, just a few hours later, everything had fallen into place and a completely new order had been restored. A better one than he could have ever imagined. He has created everything and has ordained it for a measure, was written in the Quran. However, it didn't discount the principle of a person's moral freedom and responsibility. Hashim lifted his nose from the nook of Alex's neck and smiled. They were on the brink of something new and magnificent. He felt it in every bone in his body. Miriam took another sip of her energy drink. In normal circumstances, she would never touch a vile drink like that, full of chemicals and who knows what. But it was already close to midnight, and her eyelids were getting heavy. She wanted to put as much distance as possible before stopping for the night. Glancing at the rearview mirror, Miriam licked her lips. Alex was sleeping in the back seat. He had switched places with Hashim so he could stretch his legs and take a nap, as he had gotten so little sleep the previous night. Alex's face looked so serene and innocent. She blamed the energy drink for the butterflies in her stomach. Could it be true that he talked about her all the time, like his aunt had said? The idea had thrown her off the loop. When Alex had come down to the kitchen with his bags, telling her it was time to go, she had responded by asking where. In other words, she had already forgotten their plan to leave immediately. She knew she had gone all red. Thank God her complexion was so dark, it didn't show that much. Or did it? Bowing her head, she felt a painful strain on her neck and shoulders, and all because of her restless mind. Miriam let out a heavy sigh. Why did she always get stuck in pointless details? Then she saw Hashim staring at her underneath his thick, furrowed eyebrows.
How about you? Are you going to miss New York?
Miriam asked, using the proven diversion tactic she had learned from her mother to deal with unwanted attention. Rubbing his smooth chin, Hashim narrowed his eyes as if it was something he had not thought about. Then his eyes brightened and he responded.
Sure. I love the idea that nobody knew me there, except you guys, of course. I could be myself. Now I guess I have to go back to the closet.
Miriam frowned.
I don't know how you guys do it.
Do what?
You just posted a coming out video and now you're talking about going back to the closet.
Miriam said, raising her voice. Hashim opened his mouth to say something, but apparently thought better of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Alex said in a muffled tone from the back, his face buried in a small pillow. Now her blood was boiling.
And you're even worse. Today you were worried about Hashim when at the same time...
Alex sat up.
Ugh, say no more.
It's like you men can only have one file open at a time and forget about the rest.
Guilty as charged,
Alex said and clamped his lips together. Now Miriam felt full awake again. She could do another hour of driving. Oh God, men were so simple. But then she saw Hashim exchanging a smirk with Alex, and she knew she had been had. Miriam shook her head and swallowed her laughter. She didn't have siblings. None of them had. And often, she felt like an outsider with her conservative parents or relatives. This was her true family. Alex woke up again just before one. He had been dreaming but couldn't remember what of. Their little prank came back to his mind, and he treasured the memory of the astonished look on Miriam's face when she found out. They had pulled it off because Miriam had to keep her eyes on the road. She didn't notice the sly wink Hashim had given him before talking about going back to the closet. Anyway, finding new creative ways to tease her was their favorite sport, and she always took it amazingly well.
Half a mile and we should be there,
Hashim said in a low voice.
Are you sure it's okay that we stay in the same room? I can pay for the second one.
They have enormous beds, so you guys take one and I take the other.
Miriam responded. Alex scratched his neck. He didn't know what to think of this new situation. This would be the first time he would sleep in the same room as Miriam, but it was also the first time they were together on an overnight road trip. There was a weird tingling sensation in his body, but he didn't want to think about it. Anyway, he would do nothing that would risk their precious friendship. Trying to take things further where they were right now would be crazy. He had already lost enough in his life. In any case, Miriam wouldn't date a white boy. Although she was progressive, for all he knew, she still observed her tradition that forbade Muslim women to marry a Christian or Jewish man. Yet, it was totally okay for a Muslim man to marry a Christian or Jewish woman.
"You guys wait here,"
Miriam said as she opened the door after having parked the car in the motel parking lot. Alex lowered his eyelids and yawned.
"Why?"
"It's better that you show your handsome face as little as possible," she said and closed the door behind her.
As Hashim turned around grinning, Alex fell back, pretending to faint.
"Did she just call me handsome?"
Alex asked, pressing his cheek against the faux leather seat. Soon Miriam came back with the keys, and 10 minutes later, Hashim was already fast asleep, whereas Alex was only faking it. Lying on his stomach, he hid his eyes behind his arm and watched as Miriam tiptoed to the bathroom. Her long chestnut brown hair draped her delicate shoulders, and it almost reached down to the soft curves of her hips. How was he supposed to get any sleep in the same room with Miriam? He buried his head in the pillow, hoping that his pulse would go down too. If Miriam and Hashim would find out about the state he was in. The mere thought of the shame that would follow made him pull his arms and legs in. Both his friends were epitomes of modesty, loyalty, respect, and restraint. Well, except Hashim, who had French kissed him the previous summer under the influence of some first-class weed. For Hashim's defense, there were mitigating circumstances, though. It had been him who had made Hashim smoke the joint and do a shotgun that turned into smooching. He had been so stoned that it took a while before he realized what was going on and pulled off. Alex chuckled. Now it was easy to joke about, but after that kiss, he had thrown a hissy fit, fleeing into the night. Turning to his side, Alex watched how Hashim's nostrils would flare on every inhale. However, all three of them had come through that night, stronger and closer than ever. As he closed his eyes, he felt very fortunate. With these two having his back, he could do anything. The sun came out behind the clouds and shone straight at Hashim's eyes, stirring him out of his morning slumber. He tried to move backwards, but Alex was spooning him. His friend tended to travel a lot in his sleep, especially under stress. There had been some confusion on his part when they started to do sleepovers. Sometimes, Alex would snuggle up to him during the night. But then one of those mornings, Alex had so candidly joked about their bromance that he understood all Alex wanted was a friendship, and that was it. Luckily, his initial crush had soon withered away. After hearing the door open, Hashim had an urge to move further away from Alex. But then he thought, why bother? Miriam had already seen them huddled together when she left the room. Anyway, she had displayed no signs of judgment or awkwardness for the affectionate way they carried themselves near her.
"Wake up, you sleepyheads," she said, carrying a paper bag of food. "I've got some breakfast."
Hashim turned on his back and saw that Alex's eyes were already open, but he was hiding his face under his arm. Nudging him on the shoulder, Hashim asked,
"Are you all right?"
Mumbling something incomprehensible, Alex closed his eyes. Hashim turned the TV on to a news channel.
"We've got some breaking news," said the newscaster. "A 40-year-old unnamed employee of Mary Farm has been diagnosed with H5N1 virus, otherwise known as bird flu. The company has issued a statement blaming the two bioterrorists for infecting the livestock, which in turn infected their employee. The American Meat Institute, along with several key lawmakers from the Senate, is calling for tougher laws to stop these attacks that have plagued the industry in recent years." When the anchor moved to the next subject, Hashim switched the TV off. Alex turned to Hashim.
"So tell me, Doc, is it possible for H5N1 to become contagious human to human?"
It's called viral sex. That's when avian and human flu exchange genes.
Hashim was surprised by having uttered the word sex, but saying it in a medical context made it a lot easier.
How does it come about?
If the person getting infected with bird flu already carries a human flu virus.
Holy cow,
Alex said and stared at Hashim with his mouth open. Then he took out his mobile phone and started writing. Hashim fell back on the bed. The way Alex blinked his eyes and ever so slightly moved his lips was a sure sign that his friend was on the roll, and that could be dangerous. Alex didn't always think things through before taking action.
What are you doing?
Hashim asked after clearing his throat. But Alex didn't hear it, or didn't want to hear it. Stretching his neck to look, Hashim had a rolling feeling in the pit of his stomach. As Alex turned the screen vertically, making it impossible for him to see clearly, confirmed his fears.
Stop it,
Hashim said and moved his body closer. Pouting his lips, Alex glanced at his friend. Then he stopped whatever he was doing.
What? Why?
Now Hashim could see that Alex was about to make a Twitter post with the video he took on the egg farm.
They could easily trace you and identify you, and that's not what we want.
I made a fake Twitter account,
but you used your Gmail account to make it.
When Alex didn't deny it, Hashim continued.
They could trace you in a heartbeat.
He grabbed Alex's arm.
You've been labeled a terrorist in the national media. You've got to remember that your enemies have unlimited resources. And by the way, we need to change our plans. You can't go home now.
We could go to my uncle's lake house,
Miriam cut in.
I know the codes and nobody's there at the moment.
No. I don't want you two to get in trouble,
Alex said. Hashim had a shrinking feeling in his heart. How could Alex think that they would let him off on his own? Then he realized his friend was not thinking straight, probably still half asleep. So instead, he laid his hand on Alex's shoulder and said,
We won't let you off on your own.
One of the twins fidgeted at the top of the slide. The line behind him was long, and many of his classmates urged him to go already, which was against the instructions of their blonde young teacher. So the boy gave in to peer pressure and jumped on the slide before the one before him had time to get off. Fearing a collision, he panicked and fell on the ground on his butt at the end of the slide, bursting out crying. His teacher hurried over and scooped him up as the tears ran down his chubby cheeks. Resting his face in the nook of her bare shoulder, he clung to her, more out of shock than pain from the fall. Miriam kept both hands on the wheel. For a mile or so, a highway patrol had been trailing right behind them.
So you say we should buy new SIM cards?
Alex asked, sitting in the back. Hashim shook his head.
It's not that simple, because then we should wait 2 weeks for the CCTV system in the store to overwrite the video of the transaction before using them.
I know my uncle keeps prepaid SIM cards in the lake house for visiting his friends and family from abroad,
Miriam said.
Great. Then it's settled then. I'll just text some people that I'm going off the grid for a while,
Alex responded.
But let's go back to your new email address. You can get it from SIGINT or RiseUp. But you have to access them via the Tor browser,
Alex said to Hashim.
Otherwise, you could be traced.
Speak Earth, please. I don't understand anything you're saying.
Miriam was listening to Hashim with growing curiosity and bewilderment. How did Hashim know all of this? She had never heard him talking about cybersecurity or how to stay under the radar. However, Alex seemed to be unfazed about Hashim's sudden display of knowledge and carried on as if it was nothing extraordinary. As far as Miriam could tell, Hashim's familiarity with the digital surveillance and how to avoid it sounded like it was coming from primary sources. She herself had read about these issues in some private animal rights forums. However, Hashim had always been more interested in biology and humanities than technology. Maybe there were layers in Hashim she didn't know about. It made her feel excited and baffled at the same time. It was always intriguing to find hidden talents of a person close to you. But at the same time,
She was wondering how she could have missed it. She had always been proud of her power of observation. Miriam straightened her back and glanced at the rearview mirror.
Cops!
Alex dropped between the seats. Her knuckles white from gripping the wheel so hard, Miriam stared straight ahead as the police cruiser was overtaking them. Mild tremors went through her body as she swallowed hard, trying to relieve thickness in her throat. She could feel she was on the verge of a panic attack. She eased her grip on the steering wheel by one finger, one exhale at a time, and tuned her mind to Beethoven's Ninth Symphony playing on the radio. And miraculously, as the orchestra reached the Ode to Joy, she could feel the tension going away. In the meantime, the boys had kept on discussing, unfettered by the police or by Beethoven's genius masterpiece.
How about sending the video to the FDA and to the USDA? Isn't it their job to watch over factory farms?
Hashim asked.
Forget about it,
Alex said as the highway patrol took the turnpike.
The investigators can't do much, even if they wanted to.
It's like a fox in a henhouse,
Miriam added, back on the track, all calm and composed.
A lot of their top management comes from the same industry they're supposed to regulate.
As the radio news jingle started, Miriam turned up the volume. Ramon Hernandez was found only 3 miles from the egg farm where he worked, the anchor said. Mary Farm strongly denies being aware of the infection. Mr. Hernandez must have been suffering from high fever and gotten lost in the woods. As Alex grunted, Miriam knew that most people would believe whatever the company said, because that was more convenient. Questioning took a lot of effort and required introspection. That was way too much work. According to the company spokesperson, the well-being of their employees is one of their highest priorities and...
Bullshit,
Alex said. As the result, all their egg farm employees are going to be put into quarantine at the local state hospital. Miriam shook her head.
Something doesn't add up here. If those workers are under quarantine, they're outside their control. Why would they take such a huge risk?
Alex took a large bite of a vegan Crunchwrap Supreme, his favorite junk food. It was Miriam who had suggested that they should make a pit stop at Taco Bell. Knowing her, she probably thought it was the quickest way to raise the spirits. Hashim's mom was the same. First thing she always did when he came over was to feed him, not even bothering to ask if he was hungry. Feeling his spirits lifting, he glanced at Miriam, who had eyes on him. Surprisingly, she responded by dropping her gaze. Had she somehow spotted him staring at her the night before? That would be such a disaster. Before Alex had time to agonize about it any further, she raised her face with a smile, nodding towards Hashim, who was licking his finger.
These were so good. Is there any left?
Hashim asked.
Unfortunately not, but you can eat those cinnamon twists,
Miriam said, exchanging knowing looks with Alex.
Yes, Mom,
Hashim said, and his hand reached for the paper bag between the front seats.
I mean, if those students from Parkland High School could take on the NRA, we can do the same to Mary Farm,
Alex said.
I've already outlined the article on my phone.
Who do you think would be interested in your article?
Miriam asked.
I'm going to pitch it to the Washington Post and the New York Times.
Miriam shook her head.
There would be a conflict of interest. They don't want to scare off their advertisers.
Alex crossed his arms.
I don't think so. These papers are solid. I'm sure they wouldn't let editorial decisions be influenced by commercial interest.
The Sunday edition of the New York Times had been his mom's Sunday ritual since he could remember. He had been brought up to believe that if there was something interesting going on in the world, he could read about it there. His mother had been a librarian, and she had loved quality journalism. After her death, Alex continued his mother's ritual, although in electronic form. And questioning the integrity of the New York Times was like questioning if the sky was blue.
So yummy. I think I'm going vegan,
Hashim said and broke the awkward silence. Licking his fingers again, Hashim grinned from ear to ear with bits of cinnamon plastered around his mouth. Miriam broke into a smile.
Alhamdulillah.
Alex knew it meant something like praise the Lord. After a whoop, he poked his friend in the stomach. Now they were three vegan musketeers.
Thank you for listening to the Rise Up Trilogy podcast. For more information, go to my website, henrikvillenius.com.